Welcome to the Courageous Recovery Broadcast. I'm your host, Randy Mortensen. This is a weekly 20 to 25 minute program where we provide answers for your I don't know how. Whether you're dealing with recovery issues, maybe emotions from a loss, or life is just throwing you one more curveball than you were expecting, it's so glad to have you here. Today, you're just going to be blown away by the tenacity and the brilliance of my guest, Abby. And it's always great to see that we do have people joining this broadcast literally from coast to coast here in North America, as well as about 24 countries around the globe. Thank you for taking time from your busy schedules to connect. No matter what platform you're watching this on, you may see a subscribe button. Please click that subscribe. And then if there's a chat area or a place to leave comments, please do that also, because we hugely value your input and your thoughts and your feedback. For more information about me, you can actually go to randymortensen.com, my website, Randy, last name Mortensen, M-O-R-T-E-N-S-E-N. Later in the show, we'll talk more about a 21-point assessment. It's really a tool to determine whether you or a loved one qualifies for one of my programs. It's called the Lifestyle Champion Cohort. So without further delay, welcome, Abby, all the way from Wales. It's great to see your smiling face. And just in the short time I've been able to chat with you, it's awesome to hear your passion about helping others, for sure. So anybody that's listened to the show for a while knows that my usual first question is, what is there today that you really wish that 22-year-old Abby might have known? What comes to mind?
It's a very easy question, that, because it would be that I was an alcoholic.
Okay.
And then I'd know that having that first drink would send me to where I was.
Okay. So at what point did you start drinking? When did you start?
I started drinking, I'd say heavily in my late 20s.
Okay.
But the alcoholism started with my first drink when I was on holiday in Portugal when I was 16.
Okay. Yeah. I actually started when I was 13.
Wow.
So 16 in Portugal. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. And what was your opinion of your first drink?
Well, I all of a sudden went from being a very shy, timid teenager to a very chatty, outgoing, bubbly girl.
Oh, interesting.
And it completely shocked everybody on the holiday.
Interesting. Okay.
And I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it gave you a whole different experience.
It did. Yeah.
Obviously. Okay. And then, it sounds like you did an okay job of managing it for at least a few years. Is that right?
Yes. I did realize that when I had that first drink, that it built my confidence. And from that day, I was using it to be that other person. That's
okay.
The person that I liked. I didn't like the shy Abby. I wanted to be that person with the drink inside of me, the person that made me. So it was like almost having two personalities.
Right. Yeah. The drinking personality and the non-drinking personality. Is that what you mean?
That's okay.
And what was it in your mid-20s that was it something that was causing stress that accelerated the drinking, or any particular triggers that come to mind?
Yeah, I think I started university. And obviously you go out drinking a lot more. And then I had my first son at 23 years old. So I was confined to the home a lot of the time, and I think I went through some sort of depression after that, and started drinking at home. And I think it's possibly one of the worst things you can do.
Yeah.
Is drinking at home. And it sort of spiraled from there, really.
Okay.
It was a gradual thing. You know, I went to art college and went out Thursday nights, but I'd say the daily drinking started in my 30s.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, like I was saying earlier that there's a lady somewhere in this world listening to this that's saying, wow, yeah, I started drinking at 16 and after, you know, having my first son, my first child, there was some postpartum depression. And so then I drank more and right. So it's very interesting to me as I'm blessed to interview somebody like yourself, that how many connections this makes, and we'll share your contact information if you want to, because people will reach out and call my office and say, I want to talk to Abby or I want to interact with her for sure. So you've gone on, you had the one son, and then you have another son, and then you have a daughter, right?
I do, yes.
Okay.
And it stops there.
You stopped there.
Oh,
okay.
Gosh, yeah, it stops there.
Well, I was just going to say, and then you had some rather shocking news as you turned 40. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yes. Yeah. I always knew from a young age that I didn't really fit in very well. And I was diagnosed with autism when I was 40, which I kind of sort of knew in my own little way, but it was still a shock, you know, to get the diagnosis. But yeah, I've always had problems with being in large crowds of people. Certain lighting, I have to have low dim lights in the house. Not in here, because this is my art studio, so there's no dim lights in here. So.
I was thinking that it's not very dim in there.
Yeah, it's a bit difficult on the eyes. And certain humor I don't understand, and sarcasm. So yeah, it was kind of a weight lifted, to be honest. You know, because I could stop blaming myself for being like that and not being like everybody else.
Right. Yeah.
A bit of a shock.
Well, and yet you knew something was different, but as you were sharing earlier, females do a better, well, females are able to mask it more than men, is what you were saying. And so
it's more difficult to diagnose in females.
Was it shortly after you were diagnosed that your son was then also diagnosed, or how did that all happen, timeline?
Yeah, I sort of knew my son was as well, because he was struggling with going into shops in the shopping mall, and he had this thing when he was two of running around a carpet constantly.
Wow.
And now it's running from wall to wall. So it's very repetitive pattern things. He loves spinning things like windmills, obsessing windmills and round things, planets.
Right.
So yeah, he was recently diagnosed about three months ago privately. Okay. We have to wait a long time in the UK to get diagnosed through the NHS.
Okay.
So
your sobriety date is in February of 2020, and so it's crazy. It's just before the pandemic started, right?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And what was your motivation? What was it that said, I need help? What was it, anything in particular that was that moment for you?
At the end, it was drinking every day. I knew I had a serious problem. And I basically stopped trying to stop because I couldn't stop. And it got to the stage where I tried to commit suicide, tried to jump out of a window in my house. And that's when I went into rehab in Wales. And I went there for 4 weeks, stayed for another two, and haven't touched a drop yet.
Praise God. That's well done. Well done. And was it an inpatient, a residential program?
It was a residential, so it's a detox first, and then you get counselling there. You get AA meetings, and you know there was a lot of help. I basically went in there as a scared child and came out a completely different person.
Yeah, yeah.
The aftercare is so important.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Yeah. So let's. I have a whole bunch more questions for you. Let's talk about your art business for a minute. Okay. So how would you describe your art business? If somebody wants to know more about your artistic talent and your art business, how can they get information from you, Abby?
Well, I do have a website, www.abbybrown.art. And I'm also on social media, Facebook and Instagram, Abby Brown Art.
Okay. Okay.
All my work's on there and contact details. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And is that something that you've just always been passionate about, is doing art?
Yeah, I think that's part of my autism as well. When I was at school, I used to always draw instead of going out to play with my friends. So it started from there, really. A blank canvas, blank piece of paper excites me and I want to create on it.
As a non-artistic person myself, it makes me smile to hear you say that and see you. That creates enthusiasm for you, where for me it would be dreaded. You know, oh no, not another piece of blank paper. For
so
sure.
That's like maths with me.
I know, maths. I know. Yeah. So let me just remind people that you can go to my website at randymortenson.com. That's MORTENSEN.com. I do have a new Lifestyle Champion cohort starting next month. And what that Lifestyle Champion cohort is we use Zoom technology. It's a weekly 90-minute gathering of no more than 12 people, where over the 8 weeks, we actually, the first phase is evaluate, phase two is equip, and phase three is enjoy. If you're interested in more information on that, just text champion to 66866. That's champion to 66866. And we will certainly get you more information. The thing that blows my mind is that as people are reaching out to me, wondering if I can help them, they will oftentimes respond to my question, well, it sounds like you're interested in doing something of change. Why haven't you? And the answer is always the same four words. I don't know how. And, you know, Abby, can you relate to that? Did people ever say, well, why don't you quit drinking? And say,
yes,
I don't know how. I don't know how. Right. So, okay. And being a mom of a teenager and an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old, how is it that you're able to do how many AA meetings are you doing a week right now?
I'm doing, at the beginning, it was more or less 3 a week. But at the moment, I'm doing one online meeting and one face-to-face because we're still sort of struggling a bit with getting back to face-to-face after the pandemic.
Understood. And so yeah. you're doing one a week. Is that what I heard you say? That's your goal?
I'm doing one online and one face-to-face, so actually in the rooms.
Very good. Okay. Yeah. All right. And was your group a 90 and 90 suggestion? Did you do that?
It was suggested to me. The only problem there is, which I think a lot of other mothers will find, is getting a sitter, a babysitter.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I was wondering how the mom of three kids is dealing with some of those challenges, because that's real. And
yeah. But the online meetings were amazing. And they are for single mothers, the online meetings. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's intended for single moms.
No, it started in the pandemic here, and the online meetings, but I think it'd be an amazing thing to carry them on, you know, for single mothers who can't get to meetings.
No question. Yeah. It's been quite surprising to me how well the online meetings have performed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 5 years ago, if you would have told me, oh yeah, we can do online meeting, AA meetings or 12-step meetings. And I just said, you're crazy. How do you, how can you ever do that? Yeah. How can you ever do that and make it real? You know? So, so for that mom with three kids right now, that's wondering, okay, how do I stop drinking this bottle of wine every day? Or how do I stop sneaking these beers? Or, you know, how can I change? You have a passion for wanting to spread the joy, help others be positive, be an inspiration, and give other people hope. What would you say to that mom that's listening with the three kids right now and she's just struggling? What would you say to encourage her?
I would say, first of all, stop giving yourself a hard time. It is an illness and you do need people around you to get better. You can't do it on your own. I couldn't do it on my own. Some people can, but do they stay sober? I don't know. But, you know, you need all that help around you. Other alcoholics in the same boat, other people who have been sober for a long, you know, how many years, I don't know, but it doesn't really matter. You know, people are sober and happy and it can be done.
Right. Yeah. And as you and I have both heard, it doesn't matter how many years, all that's important is today.
Yeah. Right? Today is so important. Yeah. Keep it in the day.
Yeah. I remember the first AA meeting I went to, I said to Oscar, he was 80 years old at the time, and he drank the first 40 years of his life, and he was sober than 40 years when I met him. And I said to him, I said, Oscar, what's the secret? You know, because I wanted to do it quick. I wanted a quick fix. And Oscar said, young man, you know, I was in my late 30s, young man. He said, it's this easy. Just go to bed sober tonight. And he said, before you crawl into bed, get on your knees and just thank God that you're going to bed sober tonight. And then get up tomorrow morning and do it again. Get up the next day and do it again. Right. But it's community is so important, accountability. And then what I'd like to say too, is there's unity in community. Right.
And, That's right, yeah. And
when we try to do it by ourselves, I quit thousands of times. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like you had a great program that you were a part of. And it's the aftercare that goes on for the rest of our life, frankly.
Yeah, it never ends, does it? It's a journey, like you said.
Yeah, for sure. So as we're wrapping up here, is there anything that's on your heart that, you know, somebody that's listening is saying, well, I hope she says this, or, you know, I don't know that I can do it, or anything that comes to mind that you want to be sure that we don't leave off?
I think what I wanted to say was, when you're in active addiction, whether it's alcohol, drugs, or anything else, you can't really enjoy life naturally. You can't be happy naturally because you're either on a high or a low. You're never in the middle. Life sober has been absolutely life-changing. And I can honestly say that now I am naturally happy.
Awesome.
And I'm so glad that I've done it day at a time.
Awesome. Congrats. I want to high five you, you know, from across the ocean. I want to high five you, young lady. That's so rewarding to hear. And that's why you want to encourage others. I want to encourage others because there's somebody that's out there struggling today that thinks they're not worthy. And there's people dying. You know, the relapse rate and suicide rate here in the pandemic is just off the charts.
Yeah.
And so those who are dying are husbands and wives and sons and daughters of somebody who loves them. If you do want more information, just call my office number. That's 321-757-HOPE. That's 321-757-HOPE. And if you'd like to be connected with Abby, go ahead and shoot me an email, or Abby shared her social media connections, because today's the day. Today's the day. Don't let another day pass without seeking help and guidance. I truly hope you found this information helpful today. The replay of this is available on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many others. And Amy, just as we sign off, what would you like to say to our guests?
Keep on going. It's a day at a time. Don't rush it all at once, and look after yourself. Love yourself. Look after yourself.
Right on. Right on. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, have a blessed day and be extraordinary today.